Good morning, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you about a very serious subject about being a Christian. And I want to talk to you in the sense of what being a Christian is. If I ask people as I travel down the road what a Christian is, I'd get all kinds of answers. They'd be amazing. In fact, I do that quite readily. And I ask you, are you a Christian? And in your mind, you might be saying, well, I'm better. I'm just as good as the others. That might be an answer. You might say, well, I've walked the aisle for Jesus. You might say, well, I've repented of my sins. You might say, well, I've done all these good works. I've kept the law. But I want to challenge you that maybe that isn't what being a Christian is. Maybe what's being a Christian is having a Savior. And it differs from what most religious people think being a Christian is. I ask people all the time, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And most of the answers, 99.9% of the time, the answer is, I hope I go to heaven. And I said, well, the question was, where would you go and why would you go there? And 99.9% of them say, because I've been good or I've kept the commandments or I'm doing better than some. Well, I want to show you in this Bible, if I can, that the gospel that saves people today is not the same gospel that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, I want you to look with me in verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, obviously the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So I'm going to put the cross right up here. That's the cross. And as we go out, Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. Paul is given what we call the gospel of Christ. Say, well, what gospel was being taught back here? Well, I want to show you that it wasn't the gospel of Christ. And that back here is where most people are trying to get their religious upbringing, is in Matthew, in the books of what we call the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where most people are getting their training. And in here there is a gospel. I want you to see that. Look, if you will, in Matthew. And I'm trying to make this clear to you because God wants it to be known, the gospel today, which is the gospel of Christ. Matthew 24, I want you to read with me, if you will, in verse 14. Well, let's start in 13. Matthew 24, 13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. What happens if you don't endure? You wouldn't be saved. And this gospel of the what? Kingdom. So this name is the gospel of the kingdom. The first thing I want you to recognize is that they are named different. Amen?
Amen.
The reality is they're not even named the same. So what is it, the good news for you? Well, this is the good news of the kingdom. Who was the kingdom promised to?
Israel,
the Jews. And the gospel of Christ is the good news of Christ. Well, there is something unique in the good news of Christ, and that's what brings us back to Romans. Go back to Romans. First, I want you to see that God Almighty sent you an apostle. And we have a whole series on this called Paul the Apostle. We'd like for you to call in. We've got on free cassettes and we've got videos as well. And we'd be interested in studying with you. So call in and request those. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 11, he says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. That is, Paul is the apostle to the who?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. Over here, this gospel is given to the Jews. This gospel over here is given to the Gentiles. Let's try it again. Go back to Matthew. Hold on to Romans. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that God sent you an apostle with a gospel that while people think walking the aisle or joining the church or, I've heard so many things of what a Christian is that most people really aren't clear on what a Christian is. And that's what I want you to see is what a Christian is today. In Matthew chapter 10, I want you to read with me in verse 5 and 6. These 12, and he's talking about the 12 apostles in verse 2, 3, and 4. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at what? That's the gospel of the kingdom. What was the good news about the kingdom? It was at hand, right? So the gospel being at hand was good news for the Jews. Who did he say to take this to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that us? No, we're Gentiles. So Paul was sent a message. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's both for the Jews and the Gentiles. And what is that gospel? You gotta say, well, what is that gospel? Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. And I want to talk to you, about the seriousness of understanding what a Christian is. And if you're not a Christian, I'd invite you to become a Christian today. You could trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, right today, and get the matter settled. In 1 Corinthians 15, look, if you will, in verse 1. Now listen to this. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I, who's the I in the passage? Paul. Declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also what? Well, where did he receive it? Acts 9. He received it. He's delivering to you what he received on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Make no mistake about it. Paul, in your Bible, is the very first Christian. There are no Christians prior to that event right there. How do I know that? Look, if you will, hold on to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come right back and finish it up. But I want you to go to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Well, is Paul the very first one to be a pattern? Well, from here on out, Paul is the pattern of how people become a Christian. Well, the gospel that he's got back in 1 Corinthians 15, look at it with me, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 again, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, Acts chapter 9, how that Christ died for our what? Our sins. According to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let me see if I got that straight. Over here is your birthday, and I'm just going to put B-Day. Over here is your life, and this is the end of your life, and I have no idea where that end is. Y'all with me? And along that way, you've committed sins, haven't you? And Jesus Christ became that sin at Calvary. How many sins do you have over here? Christ died for your what? Sin. Do you see that? How many? All. Colossians chapter 2 says He hath forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. Colossians 2:13 is so clear. So how many sins do you have over here? None. Why? Because Jesus Christ became that sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, for He, that is God, made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That is in Christ. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were they teaching the forgiveness of sin? Well, it would be rather hard to if you believe your Bible. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 16 and get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In Romans chapter 16, read with me in verse 25. Now to Him that has power to establish you according to My gospel. Whose gospel? My gospel. Paul's. Amen? My gospel. The one he got in Acts chapter 9. Now watch this. Now to Him that has power to establish you according to My gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the prophecy... That's not what it said, did it? It said according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the what? World began. But now is made manifest by the Scriptures and the prophets according to... Hold it. Then something had been kept secret. Amen? Amen? So being kept secret, they didn't teach it in the Old Testament. Amen? They couldn't have. If the Bible means... It could have been taught in the Old Testament. Could have been taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had it been kept secret from over here to here. No. So people that are teaching the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is teaching a Jewish gospel and some good news about a kingdom, but that isn't good news for me. Why, the good news for me came through the Apostle Paul. And that's very important. Why did God keep it a secret? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Knew what? The mystery of verse 7. Amen? Had they known it, the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If that mystery that was revealed here had been revealed back here, or even in the Old Testament, would God have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan would have kept him alive, wouldn't he? God would have been trying to let him die for your sins, and Satan would have been giving them CPR. Amen? Why, had they known that Christ was going to die for you, your sins, you in Alabama here, you in the United States, if God had known, hey, if Satan had known that God was going to do that, Satan would not have crucified the Lord of what? Glory. Powerful stuff. Do you realize that by following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're missing the greatest blessing of being a Christian? Why, being a Christian to me means that I've been given the gift of eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 6, look there, Romans chapter 6, look in verse 23. A lot of Christians that I talk to are nervous about their salvation. Why, they think if they step off that fine line just a little bit, guess what? They backslidden and lost their salvation. I've had some people say, Brother Barry, I'm so bad that God would never take me back. And that's not true in the age of grace. Why, if you've ever been a Christian, you're still a Christian. If you ever found yourself lost before Almighty God and trusted His Son, you're still a Christian today. Isn't that great news? Yeah, listen, I'm not in a process of becoming a Christian. I'm a Christian because a Savior, 2,000 years ago, went to that cross and died for me. That's why I'm a Christian. It has nothing to do with walking the aisle or joining the church or becoming... You know, I went through confirmation when I was 13 and I was still lost as a ball in high weeds. That may be you. Maybe you've done all these religious things all these years. You've been trusting that. But you've never really seen yourself as being no good. You've never seen yourself as being unacceptable to God and needing a Savior. But on the 24th of August, 1983, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I chunked my religion. In Romans chapter 6, read with me in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is what? He gave me, an undeserving sinner, the gift of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. Man, when we talk about grace and we sing that song, Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound. Man, I know about amazing grace. For God to go to that cross and become sin for me, get nailed to that cross as they pound those nails into His hands and thrust that sword into His side and let Him die, He died for me. I can sing Amazing Grace. I can sing the joy that we have in the age of grace. Now for 2,000 years, God, look at 2,000 years, God has been pouring out His grace upon this earth. Amen. Just pouring it out. He wants all men to be saved. He's made a provision for that salvation. But that provision is not through works. That provision is not about you getting out of your seat and coming down to the front and crying out to God. That provision is a cross. That provision is the work of Almighty God's Son. That work is a work of the Son of the Creator of heaven and earth, who became a man, God manifest in the flesh, became a man, and died on a cross so that I could have eternal life and give me the gift of eternal life. How did I deserve a gift of eternal life? What have I done? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Why, all the way through the Bible, there's none good, no, not one. Isn't that amazing? Christianity isn't about church membership. Christianity isn't about baptism. Christianity isn't about your behavior. Being a Christian is where you come to a point in your life when you realize that what you need more than anything is a Savior. And you trust what Christ did back at that cross 2,000 years ago, hanging upon that tree. Why, Christianity has nothing to do with morality. You can be as moral as you want and end up in hell. Amen? It isn't about morality, although I suggest that you ought to be as moral as you can. But it has nothing to do with being a Christian. Why, people ask me all the time, why did I start a broadcast? Because I believe that what's happening in Christendom is people are being fed milk all the time. They're just being poured milk. And they've gotten so used to it that when they get a piece of steak, they sometimes choke on it. Well, I hope to build you up slowly into where you can be a full-fledged Christian and you don't need a teacher anymore. Maybe you'll become the teacher. Maybe you'll be the one that will be out there preaching and teaching the Word of God. Because it isn't about me. It's about the Lord. It's about what He did and what He says in this book. Why? If you don't see the two different Gospels, go to Galatians chapter 1. Why, becoming a Christian is understanding the distinction that God has sent you a message, and that message is grace. It isn't works. In Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 2, I'm sorry. Galatians 2. Look, if you will, in verse 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And those who seem to be somewhat, I would challenge you to think that they're the 12 apostles, and you can come up and read in the passage, and I believe you would find that to be so. But for time's sake, I hope you just study it out. Look at this. For he that wrought, verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Come back to verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Gospel of the uncircumcision? The gospel of circumcision. How many gospels is that? That's two gospels. The gospel of circumcision, who would that be for? Jews, Israel. Gospel of the uncircumcision was for who? Gentiles. Who was the apostle to the circumcision? That's why I read that verse first. Paul being the apostle to the Gentiles, Romans 11 verse 13, Romans 15 verse 16, on and on. Two different gospels. One given to the nation of Israel, one given to you Gentiles that are hearing my voice. And let me tell you, people are confusing them. They're just mixing them up. And so Christians today don't know what it is to become a Christian. They think joining the church. Well, I've been amazed at that because the Bible said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits after the traditions of what? Men. Well, then when I hear of these traditions of joining the church or walking the aisle or doing one of those things, I get the idea in my mind that I ought to be aware of those things. Because a lot of people believe or trust in their church membership. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with being a member of a church. As long as you realize that being a member of that church does not save you. Y'all understand? I don't have anything against church membership. You say, well, you sure seem to be picking on it. I'm saying that a lot of people trust that for their salvation when what they need to trust is the cross of Calvary. Amen? Being a Christian has nothing to do. There has to be a day in your life when you see yourself lost and realize that you need a Savior. And that gospel was provided to and through the Apostle Paul. Y'all understand? That without the Apostle Paul and the 13 books that he wrote, Romans through Philemon, you couldn't find salvation for you in this book based upon grace. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Go back to Romans 11, or back to Romans, verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. Now watch this. And if by grace, then it is no more of what? Then that tells me at one time it must have been of what? Over here is all based upon works. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Grace is the absence of you doing anything. That is, grace is the absence of you walking the aisle. Grace is the absence of you having to say some sinner's prayer. Grace is the absence of everything that you can do. Grace is the gift of Almighty God. That's what grace is. Grace is an undeserving gift. It is that God offered His Son up for you. Can you imagine that? My brother-in-law is writing a Christian song and he says, it's hard to believe that He loved you more than me. Do you realize He let His precious Son, whom He loved, to die so that He could have your favor and fellowship? You say, well, my church tells me that I have to live it to be a Christian. Well, then they're lying to you. Because what made me a Christian was the act of Almighty God and His kindness toward me, who am an undeserving sinner. That is the most marvelous message I know. There is nothing that tops that. I mean, when I sang Amazing Grace, my heart swells with joy that God would love me so much that He offered His Son to die for me. Wow. Oh, wretch that I am. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, that is, if it's something you're doing, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Well, how does Paul say that your gospel is? Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and let's see what your apostle says your salvation is by. Oh, I know you already probably know the verse, but read it with me anyway. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Is it based upon you walking the aisle? Is it based upon you joining some church? Is it based upon the law that you're trying to keep? Look what it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Wow. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you brag about being baptized? You could say, I was baptized, couldn't you? You could boast in the fact that you were willing to get in the water. There's a lot of people that are trusting in this baptism, but the salvation by Paul is a salvation without water baptism. The salvation by Paul is without church membership. The salvation of Paul is without you saying a sinner's prayer. The salvation of Paul has to do with the cross 2,000 years ago where a man died for your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. Why, grace is the most marvelous thing. I wish people could just joy in the grace that is provided through them through this book. I just want you to see the reality of the joy that you can have in knowing the salvation that Paul talks about in Romans through Philemon. I think it's the most important thing you could possibly do is trust this truth that is written here. Say, well, what about Peter? What did he preach for salvation? Well, go to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, this is what Peter told some people to get saved. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is what? Is accepted with him. Well, what happens if you don't work righteousness? But Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The message of grace is absence of outside of any human works. It's the gift of God. God loved you so much. God offered His Son for you. God tried to show you in 13 books of the New Testament that there was something different than from the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Over here, works. Over here, the kingdom. Over here, no works. Grace, the gospel that was given to Paul. He's trying to show you in 13 books in the New Testament that it's by grace and not by works. Man, listen, let me tell you what. You can't beat that with a stick. If you want something other than the grace of God, you don't want the gift of God. You're turning away the most precious thing you've got, and that is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? That He loved you and He offered His Son to die for you, that you might be given the gift of righteousness and eternal life.